Please, actually, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, but please turn with me first to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10 before we explain a little bit and move on to Ephesians chapter 6. But please turn with me to 1 Peter 5, verses 7 through 10, and stand with me out of respect for God's word. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 10 says this. Well, let's start with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Can't end there. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Really, instead of reading 10 through 18, we'll read verses 10 through 13 and then verses 18 through 20. It says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles with the strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Then it describes the resources, the truth, the righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, and down to verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it is. Lord, I pray that as we look tonight at the reality of satanic attack and the reality of an organized influence that is set up to destroy and distract us as Christians, even though that's a reality, you have given us the resources to overcome and to stand, having done all to stand. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom, you give us insight, Lord, and help us as we look particularly at this aspect of prayer, this resource of prayer, that you would help strengthen our prayer lives. Help us to have a greater understanding, a greater motivation, a greater desire, and a greater interaction with you as a result of tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I was thinking of 1 Peter chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, obviously with the events of this week going hunting, I was thinking of lions. Lions. Back when this was written in biblical time, lions were a terror. You didn't have firepower. A community with a lion in it was a dangerous thing. At night, a lion could come, stalk, and destroy. Lion is likened to Satan, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's the picture of Satan with us, a very dangerous, scary thing. Then I got thinking about Ephesians 6. With the resources and the idea of from 1 Peter 5, casting all our care upon him, whom resist steadfast. Even though it's a reality
that we have a lion lurking about, seeking to devour and distract and destroy us and our effectiveness, our relationship, our faith, our trust, and everything Christian and biblical about us, God has given us the resources. And I think if you were to give an analogy to modern day, I think of a safari hunt in Africa. All right? What happens with those lions in those communities? Are they any less dangerous? No, they're not. They're dangerous still. You see them attacking an organized attack on a Cape buffalo or on other animals, and you see those on those animal shows, and they destroy, and they're powerful, and they're quick. But you know what? If you have a hunting guide with you, and you have a safari vehicle, and you have a high-powered rifle, who has the advantage? And that's the picture here. Instead of being scared of the lion, God has given us the resources and opportunity and strength to stand next to the guide who will protect us, who knows us, knows our resources, knows our weapons, and is talking us through the battle with the lion. So the hunter becomes the hunted. Why? Because we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the resources to stand strong, even though the roaring lion is out to destroy and distract and devour us as Christians. So, the last few weeks we've been looking at three spiritual realities regarding spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. Basically, Satan's propaganda campaign to trip us up and distract us. Here's the three spiritual realities of spiritual warfare. Number one is this. Satan is determined to ruin us. That's a reality. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. 2 Corinthians 10, or 2, 1 and 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. It's a reality. 1 Kings 19, 1 through 6 is an object lesson of this. Right after Elijah with the 400 prophets of Baal had just experienced the wonderful power and miracle of God, what was his reaction? To run with his tail between his legs into the, well, he didn't really have a tail, but running from Jezebel because he was scared of her. Why? He had just seen 400 prophets of Baal destroyed by the power of God. Why did he run? Because Satan used devices to attack him emotionally. Satan attacks us emotionally, financially, physically, spiritually, in every way. Like we said, and we looked at the passages, he has an organ, if you wanted to liken it today, it's almost as if he has a bio about us. And he knows our weaknesses, he knows our strengths, and he has an organized attack with his demons, with his angels, with his influences to destroy us. As scary as that sounds, the other two spiritual realities are wonderful. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 gives us a second spiritual reality. God has given us equipment to defend against Satan's attacks and tactics. We have defense. If you were to liken it to that lion hunting analogy, we have a cage around us, protecting us. He's given us what? He's given us seven things, seven resources. Five of them are defensive and two of them are offensive. He's given us a belt of truth. He's given us the breastplate of righteousness, the body armor. He's given us our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's given us stable footing with the gospel, which brings peace through Christ. Above all, he's given us a shield of faith, both salvation, positional faith, and then practical application faith in our everyday lives. When a situation comes up that is, how can I trust you, God? Why did you have this happen? The shield of faith. God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and then prayer, as we're going to look at tonight. So God has given us the equipment to defend against Satan's attacks, and then the third spiritual reality in this passage is that God has given us weapons to attack Satan's tactics and strategies. We looked at the historical background and the analogy being used in Ephesians chapter 6. And the idea is God has already won us the high ground. He has a fortress. It's just been explained with our spiritual wealth in chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. He's won it for us. He's given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have the position of power. But then, after our wealth is described, our walk, our everyday living. If you understand your wealth, you're going to have this as your lifestyle. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6, Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and chapter 6 through verse 9. But if you understand your wealth and you're walking a certain way, you're living a certain way, Satan's not going to be happy about it and you're going to experience warfare. Let me just say, and we've been challenged with this, I think all of us are, including myself. If we're not experiencing warfare, maybe it's because we don't understand our wealth and we're not walking the way we should. And Satan's just like, leave that one alone. They're not doing anything. We don't need to devour and distract them. They're not having an impact for Christ. But if we are understanding our wealth, we're living the way we should in our walk, our everyday lifestyle, our everyday conduct, then we will experience warfare. But we don't need to be scared of that. We don't need to use that as a motivation not to walk the worthy walk. Why? Because he's given us resources to stand. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Not Paul Bunyan, that was the big blue ox. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. In the story of Christian, we had the last piece of armor as described as what? All prayer. So that he can prevail against, in the storyline, all who come against him in the valley of the shadow. Remember, it's a great spiritual analogy, Pilgrim's Progress. But John Bunyan's basis for that was this very passage in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 18, is the basis of that, all prayer. You see, prayer is one of the most well-known but most overlooked tools that God has given us as Christians. Not only is it the most overlooked, I believe, it's also the most often misunderstood. I wish I could be in here on Wednesday nights doing a small study through prayer, the topic of prayer. I find it very interesting that the Epistle of Ephesians ends with the need of prayer. I mean, there's possibly no other book in the entire Bible that does a better job of explaining our Christian blessings, the blessings of our salvation, than the book of Ephesians. But the book that starts with this grander, all heavenly places in heavenlies, where does it end? On our knees in prayer. The last piece of weaponry that's mentioned is prayer. One man said, "This majestic epistle, which begins in the heights of chapter 1 with one of the greatest theological statements written anywhere in the scripture, in which we are lifted up and exalted into the heavenlies from which all blessings come, this epistle, you might say, that begins in the heights, ends on its knees." When all is said and done, end quote. When all is said and done, when all is in place, verse 18 brings to the climax of the book, the culmination of the book, the conclusion of the book. Basically, the thought is this: take all this armor, put it on with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, the theme of the Holy Spirit-filled walk is introduced, and it is the underlying foundation of all of this, the spiritual armor. Mr. Ford mentioned it this evening in testimony time. Romans 8 talks about the Holy Spirit involved in our prayer life, our interpreter. So, Ephesians chapter 6, the main point of this passage tonight, if you were to summarize it all down, is this: prayer and alertness is essential for both personal and group strength. Let me say that again. Summarizing all this: prayer and being alert is absolutely essential for both personal and group strength. If we want to be strong as individuals in our stand for the Lord, in our stand, our spiritual walk, if we want to be strong as a church, it is absolutely essential that we grasp prayer, and that prayer is a vital part of our lives. Two essential parts for victory in modern warfare. I was not a soldier. I really appreciate our military. But when you just look at modern warfare, two essential parts for victory that are often overlooked, and fortunately, United States of America have excelled in the different wars, usually the people that can communicate the best and have the best intelligence are usually the armies and militaries that win. And that's what this is saying. If you want to be a strong, standing Christian, make sure you have your communication and your intelligence down. You have a firm grasp on your communication and your intelligence. So tonight we're going to look at three aspects of prayer. First of all, the importance of prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How many times is the word all or always mentioned in that verse? Four times. It's not something that is optional. That is something that we do every once in a while. It's not something that we wait for. It's constant. The emphasis is that prayer should be a constant and significant part of our Christian lives. Let's look at the verse some more. It says this, when are we to pray? It answers these questions. Let's ask these investigative questions as we look at this verse. When are we to pray? Always. Praying sometimes. Praying at your meals. Praying before you go to bed. Praying when you get up in the morning. No, praying always. It's a constant thing. If this was written in modern times, we've just gone through the spiritual warfare, the spiritual armor, the spiritual armor and weapons. We have seven pieces, and now we have prayer. If you were to have the modern technology back when this was written in Paul's day, this would be the earpiece, the communication, the radio that communicates. What this is saying is, we must always keep our radios, our earpieces on. Never turn it off. Always keep a clear line of communication between you and the commander. When we were hunting this week, my dad had this infatuation with radios. Two-way radios. He had four of them, and I had one as well. And it was every time we went anywhere, we had two vehicles, and any time we went anywhere, we had to check our radios. And we were communicating back and forth on the radios. Well, the one time we really needed it was when we shot one of the elk. And we were talking, my brother and I and Matt, we all had radios, but we're standing right next to each other, and we're communicating on the radios, and we could hear each other on the radios. But you know what? My dad and our host and his father, we didn't know where they were. We're trying to get them on the radio. And the only time that they never responded was the most important time we needed them, when the elk was down. So we had to go search for them. But what's my point? If we have a constant communication, that helps us. It's beneficial. And God is saying, I have the Holy Spirit, I have my Son Jesus Christ, and I have me that we communicate with. I never turn my radio off. It's never off, and now utilize it. Communicate with me. It's helpful for you. So what is praying always? Does that mean we need to be on our knees, by our bed, with our hands folded, our eyes closed, for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No. The idea is constant communication and alertness of God's power and help in your life. Being aware and keeping the communication line open. Don't ignore your God. He's with you. He's your best friend. Take the opportunity to talk with him. You know, all through the day, you're driving. So I think with the modern technology, as great as it is, it floods out our communication. Sometimes turn the radio off in the car. Turn the player off. Turn the TV off. Turn your devices off. And just communicate with God. But even throughout the day, I was having a discussion with a friend several years back, and they said, man, my prayer time is always interrupted by distracting thoughts. And I said, well, maybe start praying about those distracting thoughts. You know, something comes up, and what happens? Pray about it. All right? You have a test at school. You have a project at work. You have a hardship emotionally or financially or physically or whatever it be. God, I need your help with this. Lord, please direct so-and-so as we go into this meeting. Give me wisdom with this. And it's constantly a conversation with God in the background of your life. Constant communication with God is the idea. Give me safety in this situation, Lord. Give me wisdom, Holy Spirit, as I start this conversation. Lord, here's a problem at work or in the home or at... I don't know how to handle this. Give me wisdom. And as you go through the day, you're in a constant communication, radio conversation with God. And God and His Holy Spirit is infusing back into you knowledge and wisdom and guidance and comfort. That's what the Holy Spirit and prayer is all about. A constant communication with God. Jesus in Luke 21:36 says this, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The early apostle said in Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. It was said about Cornelius in Acts 10 that he prayed to God always. Romans 12:12 says, continue diligently in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continuing instant in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is not a temporary, once in a while thing. This is a constant line of communication with God. Famous 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? Ceasing. Paul did that. 2 Timothy 1:3, without ceasing, he says, I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. The idea here is constancy. It's just like breathing. As a Christian, we should automatically be in a constant communication with God in every circumstance in life. Oh, how am I going to respond to this email or this text? Or someone just made a bad comment about me on social media. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom on how to handle this. I need your strength. I need your guidance. Please give me patience. And then respond to it. Prayer should be the same way as breathing. We should constantly be in communication with God, realizing that He is with us at all times. And we have the comfort and opportunity to communicate with Him at all times. So Paul closes the great letter, the final crescendo. The music peaks out with what? A call to prayer. Prayer is the breath of the Christian's life. I want to read you a quote by John MacArthur regarding this. It's an excellent quote. It's kind of lengthy, but it's very beneficial, so I'll start. Now this stretches us beyond just some recited prayer, he says. This cannot mean some focused, isolated prayer experience. That would have been typical of Judaism. Formula prayers. Hours to pray. Times to pray. Places to pray. Postures in which to pray. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a life pattern. We're talking about a consciousness of God's presence at all times that leaves my heart open fully to Him. That's what this is all about. to be so God-conscious that you see and experience everything with reference to Him. You see all events in life as related to God. If you see something good, what is your immediate response to what is good? It is to offer God thanks and praise and adoration. You see sin or evil, what is your response? You ask Him to make it right. You confess it. You pray for the sinner. You grieve that God is dishonored, that His name is reproached. You ask God to vindicate Himself and to bring righteousness where there is only iniquity. You see trouble. You see people in distress. What is your initial response? To go to God and ask that God will somehow be honored in the distress and bring a deliverance that can glorify His name. It's simply living your life in that kind of dominant God consciousness so that God is the filter through which every experience passes. And the thought is, it's living life through God-colored glasses. The idea is, you have a focus on God, you have a love for God, you put the God-colored glasses on, and you see everything through life, interpreting it through how does this affect the glory of God and the advancement of Christ, and how am I a part of this? It's a constant line of communication. So then, when are we to pray? Always. How are we to pray? It says, praying always with all prayer. This is speaking of the variety of prayer, different kinds of prayer. Praise to God is telling God what He's like. Giving honor for who God is. Thanksgiving, thanking God for what He's done. Petition, asking God. Intercession, praying for someone else. Supplication, praying for yourself, a need. Dr. Vaughn, when he's been here, he's given us three different manners of prayer. It's basically patterned after the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the disciples' prayer that the Lord told them to pray. First one is this, adoration. When we pray, adore God. Praising God for who He is and thanking God for what He's done. That's prayer. You sit down and you have an opportunity to just talk to God. Start with adoration. So often we start with asking God for something. God, give me this, 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 give me this. Amen. We look at God as the great piggy bank. No, adoration, the Psalms. You look at the Psalms. Adoring God. What did God call David? A man after my own heart. Agreement. Confession, putting on, putting off, lining my life up with God's desires. You look at Psalm 51, different Psalms, they're in agreement with God. They're confession Psalms. God, I messed up today. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for this thought. I'm sorry for this action. Please help me, God. Forgive me. It's agreement. And then last of all, it's asking God. Notice that that's last. What do we ask God for? For church ministry, for family, for the unsaved, for our impact with them, for government, for friends, for missions, for personal needs, and on and on. So when we pray, it's not just give me this, 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 and I'll take a cherry on top. No, it's adoring God. It's agreeing with God, and it's asking God. All of those are elements and different varieties and ways of prayer. Praying always with all prayer, all types of prayer. Some people say you're more spiritual if you lay on the ground, out on the ground, praying to God. Or some people say if you're standing like this with your eyes closed. Some people say if you're on your knees, it's the way to unlock God's power, or maybe the volume of your prayer, or maybe if you pray in a still, quiet voice, or maybe you quite pray silently, or you have to pray out loud. Well, Paul's saying, no, it doesn't matter. Every prayer, just pray. Always. Keep that line of communication open. So how? We're supposed to pray with all prayer, all kinds of prayers, the variety of our prayer, and then how else? In the Holy Spirit. So prayer is to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. All three members of the Trinity. Prayer is directed towards God the Father. Prayer is, we have access to God through the Son, and it's in the Spirit. As was mentioned already, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit interprets our prayers. All through the Bible, the prayer is directed towards God. I'm going to look at a couple passages real quick. You don't need to turn there. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So how do we have access to God through Jesus Christ? And that's also reinforced in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. But dying on the cross for our sins, we have access to God now. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And then it goes on. So what's the thought? Prayer. How? In the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, an illustration, today, we're praying, Lord, help that person, what's that person's name? Oh, you know who I'm talking about, Lord, that immense prayer, that lady that her husband died. God doesn't have to say, who are you talking about? Sorry, chuck that one out. It's a bad ballot, all right? No, just get that one out of there. We don't understand. No, the Holy Spirit's got, God, you know, that's talking about Mrs. Wesco, Stephanie. So, in the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. Prayer, that's a privilege that we should boldly use and utilize. So how? By watching, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. What does that mean? Being alert of the needs and circumstances around us. Mrs. Klein, Mrs. Parker, others in the body asking, how can I pray for you? You look down today. How can I pray for you? Not as a means to gossip about people. Not as a way to gain ammunition, gain knowledge. But, hey, I noticed this person was down today. How can I pray for you? And this is both individual and for others. Pray for each other. But in order to pray for each other, we have to know and be alert to the needs of those around us. And that's what this is saying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The body of Christ is just that. A body, a unified body that we must watch out for each other about. When someone hurts, we all hurt. When someone rejoices, we all rejoice. And the glue that binds that all together, obviously, is Jesus Christ, but it's prayer. Praying for each other. And let me just say, in American culture, we're afraid to be open and transparent. Oh, I'm good. No, how can I pray for you? Well, you know what? The situation at work, or the situation in my neighborhood, or my relationship with this person, or this, or that, or financially, or this. We're so proud that we never want to be transparent about anything. But instead, what we need is people that are transparent. And then instead of people shaming people that are transparent, we genuinely pray for them. As we drive from place to place, we think, Lord, help Mrs. Klein. Help her physically and emotionally and spiritually. I pray for her spiritual faith. Strengthen her faith, her emotional strength. And pray for her physical healing. Lord, give her. And then also, Mr. Klein and Naomi, give them encouragement and strength. But that's all of us doing that for all of us, is the thought here. Philippians 2:4 says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We must look around and be alert of the circumstances and needs of our fellow Christians. Are you alert to each other's needs, or are you looking, are you even looking at the needs of others, or are we so concentrated on ourselves? Then how? How are we to do this? With perseverance. Sticking to it and not quitting. In the Greek, it's intensive commitment is the idea. Luke 18:1 and then following, really the whole context, but just the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he gives the parable of the begging woman before the judge. And in this parable from Jesus, Jesus is basically pointing out the need to persevere in prayer. He's basically saying, if this judge in Luke 18 in this story will give a widow that he doesn't even know what she wants because of her incessant begging, how much more will your loving, caring Father give you what you need when you need it? And James 4 clarifies this, that it's not to be fulfilled for our lusts. It's not you beg God to win the lottery, but it's beg God for genuine prayer, genuine needs, genuine desires in line with his glory. And then last of all, for who? For all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for who? All saints. Cover other Christians in prayer. How many of us are praying for each other? It's kind of shameful to think about that. Do we really care about each other? Well, that'll be evident in our prayer lives for each other. So first of all, we have the importance of prayer, verse 18, and then we have the objects of prayer, verse 19, and really back to chapter 3. The objects of prayer, verse 19 says this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So what does he say? Basically, Paul is saying this. And by the way, if you're going to apply this verse 18, and if you're going to apply praying for all saints, start with me. Put me on the top of your prayer list. And here's how, pray for me. Paul practiced what he preached. He had prayed for them in chapter 1 and chapter 3. Remember, he prayed for their enlightenment and their enablement. He prayed for them. And he's saying, you pray as well and start with praying for me. We need to pray for our spiritual leaders. We need to pray for each other. Notice that Paul didn't pray for his comfort or needs, but for his effectiveness. Remember, you know, Paul was in prison at this time. He most likely was chained to a guard. So what's the thought here? If that was me, I would pray, I'd send you notes, I'd send you a text or send you a communication and say, hey, pray for me because it's really cold in this prison and I'm missing my coat. Can you tell maybe Timothy to bring it with him? And I'm cold and I'm hungry and I'm emotionally a wreck. And you know what? My wrists are chafing pretty bad, chained to this guard here. Those fetters are really messing with my arms. Pray for me for those things. And that's our typical prayer requests. But what does he pray for? No, he doesn't pray for his personal comfort. He prays for his effectiveness. for me, that I may open my mouth boldly. He's potentially going to die for his faith. He's saying, pray that I'll have boldness when I go to trial. Pray that I'll have boldness with every guard that comes in. And I'm going to give them, they're a captive audience, I'm going to give them the gospel and I'm going to give it to them boldly. Pray for me that I would be able to be more bold. And to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul prayed for, number one, illumination from God. What to say? Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Pray that I'll know what to say. Pray that I'll have utterance. That the Holy Spirit would guide me in my speech and I would know what to say and how to say it appropriately. But then he also prayed for boldness empowered by God. Boldly. That word's in there twice. So he's saying, pray that I'll know what to say and pray that I'll have the strength to say it. And then third of all, verse 20, the focus of prayer. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. It's referring back to the mystery of the gospel. He's saying, I am in prison simply because not any wrongdoing or crime that I've done. I am in prison because I preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But I don't care. Pray for me that I'll be able to preach even more. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So his focus of prayer was spiritual over physical. It was sharing God over sharing self. And here's the application. It's not wrong for us to pray for personal or physical needs. It's not wrong. All prayer. But they should be secondary to our spiritual needs. Seems like our focus has shifted from God onto ourselves in our prayer lives. This example shows us, Paul's example here in verses 19 and 20 shows us that instead of focusing on our wants, our desires, our physical needs, viewing God as a rabbit's foot or a piggy bank, we should be more concerned with our spiritual needs. Where's our focus? Lord, I pray that you'd help me in my focus. Many of us need to get the focus off of ourselves and back onto God. So here's the bottom line. We are to be in a constant attitude of prayer. So what? We are to be in a constant attitude of God. Have that communication line open with him throughout the entire day. Through every circumstance. In a direct communication with God as if he were with us all day. Why? Because God knows that prayer is vital. And he wants to be thorough and deliberate. He wants us to be thorough and deliberate with our communication with him. A lot of people say God is sovereign God. He's in control of it anyway. He already has it planned out. Why pray? Because God wants us to. We must also have the right focus with our prayer. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Not just for our physical needs, but mainly for our spiritual needs. I'll close with two final quotes. First is this. I don't have who said this, so I apologize for that. It's not original with me. Here's a quote. I think it's a latent danger that Christians who have a knowledge of doctrine, who have a very strong knowledge of doctrine, a fairly extensive grip on principles of living the Christian life, can become satisfied. And that sort of heart-rending, passionate, constant dependence on God simply isn't there. And that is sin. And that is dangerous. What's the thought? I have contentment. I don't need to pray. Next, prayer isn't a time that you wait for. It is a life that you live. It's a God-conscious life. It's not just finding a list of requests and going over it, although that's part of it. It's not just having a prescribed prayer time, although that's certainly part of it, having a private place. It's much more than that. It's that every single thing in your life is something to talk to God about. Everything. Everything. So what? In conclusion, last question. What about us? What do we need to do to to redirect our focus on prayer. Yes, have a prayer list. Yes, have a prayer time. But it's much more than that. It's a constant focus and communication with God throughout the day. Are we viewing prayer as a time to wait for, or are we viewing it as a life that we live? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the privilege that we have to talk to you. Lord, it's a privilege that I confess I take for granted. Lord, I don't communicate with you, focus on you like I should. Lord, I want to. Lord, you've given me that resource to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you're right there with me the entire time. So often, we try to just do it on our own strength. Lord, help us to find our contentment, our strength, our communication, our comfort, our guidance throughout every situation of every day through you and through our communication with you. Lord, you've promised to guide us. You've promised to give us strength. Lord, so often we shut off our side of the radio. Help us not to do that. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.